You know those weekends where everyone ends up piled up on the couch together? Those are some of my favorite memories. Growing up, it was movie nights, favorite shows, snacks everywhere, and just being together. And now I get to create those same moments with my own family. With T-Mobile, we save up to $1,000 a year by bundling our four phone lines on Experience Beyond with T-Mobile's all-in 5G home internet. Between streaming, gaming, texting, and scrolling, we are all on different screens most days. Movie night is when we finally share one. And with incredible perks and surprises every week with T-Mobile Tuesdays, plus the best streaming on them, those moments feel even more magical. Switch to T-Mobile today at T-Mobile.com. Qualifying plan required. Savings based on third line free via monthly bill credits. $15 per month internet bill credits and auto pay discount. Qualifying credit required. Credits may take up to two bill cycles and will stop if plans lines change.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is with us on the program for the next hour, presented by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. PK, good morning. How are you?
I am well. How are we doing?
Outstanding.
We're doing great.
Good to see you. I have a few thoughts on what I listened to on my way in.
Okay. Oh, are you? Oh, you were near? You were close?
Yes.
Good. You were listening to the radio.
Listen.
Good for you.
It's pronounced Lafayette. It's the Marquis de Lafayette. He fought with Washington. He's a big part of the whole revolutionary thing.
If you say Marquise de Lafayette.
If you say
de Lafayette, Marquise de Lafayette.
If you say Lafayette, it's cut and dried. You're mispronouncing it. You've bastardized the name.
The guy who says huge has spoken on word pronunciations. Look, thank you.
I have a quirky pronunciation of huge. That's fine.
See, he just said it with an H, and it was fine.
I think that was intentional.
Yeah.
But it's not hard for you, so why don't you just say it correctly?
We're changing the subject.
It's a regional thing.
Well, Lafayette.
No, you're going to start ripping people for how they pronounce words.
Not Lafayette.
You have to answer for your own thing.
That's a strict mispronunciation.
Okay.
Unquestionable. And everybody that says it that way, it just shows themselves to be a fool.
How do you say Sugma?
I don't even know what that's about. On this other thing, Joe, if you had just merely, you're so cautious and so afraid, why couldn't you have just said, this is a complicated story that involves a coworker and a friend of mine, and I'm not comfortable speaking about it at this time. If you had said that, people would have backed off of you. But you're so nervy. No, we're not going to talk about this. This is something we're not talking about. Behind the scenes, you said that, and on the air, you said nothing.
To you, and so because you're a jackass.
And to me, that's fine.
No, because you are a jackass, and I don't trust your jackassery on the air. That's why I said it to you. Robbie and I never had that conversation.
But on the air, you said, I believe, nothing, which made everybody think, well, Joe is somehow in odd support of
what a crime. What a crime to not address these photos in the New York Post.
But why can't you just say something? I mean, they are photos, Joe. They weren't illustrations.
You listen to every single second of our show?
I don't.
Do you know that what you're saying is true?
I'm asking you. Did you address it?
No, you didn't ask me. You just stated it as if it were fact.
Well, because our conversations made it pretty clear you were not
going
to address it.
Yeah, the next day I absolutely did not want to get in with you because I don't trust you at all.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Hey, well, it's not ridiculous. Me. You go overboard all the time, and you love to put people in a position of getting in trouble with their freaking employer.
No. I do?
Yes. Absolutely.
I have no interest in you being in trouble with the Athletic.
I think you have a
but
high
But I also
interest.
Think it's an absolutely ridiculous thing that the Athletic would have, and I don't believe they would, have a problem with you saying, knowing that you have a second
I
job.
I have no idea.
You're saying, I'm in an uncomfortable
they
position
They never said
here.
A word to me or to anybody. I have no idea if they'd have a problem with it. I didn't want to deal with
you're
it.
You're scared to death of it.
Sure.
Which is fine. But you could say, they're not going to fire you if you say, I understand people would like us to discuss this. I'm uncomfortable doing so. It's a coworker. It's hazy stuff. And so we're not going to touch it. That's like three sentences. What would have been the problem with that? You'd think that's going to get you in trouble?
No, I don't.
So why couldn't you have said that?
Who cares that I didn't?
Well, your audience wanted to hear from you
on it. Oh, did they? So, that would have been such a great thing to do. That would have been a huge moment to say, hey, I don't want to talk about this. Okay, so anyway, how are the Preds doing tonight?
A difference between something and nothing is significant, yes.
I mean, the things that you find to whine about, truly amazing.
We have a texture that says, do we think we could get in a question about Trey Avery right now?
someone says we should get married.
Hard pass. I don't want to care for somebody with gout.
Adam says, after the way Paul just pronounced Lafayette, I would not trust him either.
I think that you'd take care of my gout well.
Lafayette is, yeah, I would feed you shrimp and lobster.
Just see how big it could get.
Meat and meat.
See how big the foot could get.
Blindfold yourself here. I've got some really tasty food that's going to help your gout.
There we go. Let's welcome in Dustin in Hopkinsville to the program. Dustin, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. So I don't like to insert myself into drama, but this morning I'm going to. And Joe, me and you always don't eye to eye, but buddy, I got you back on this one. It's just dang good morals. Don't be a sleazy asshole, Paul.
How am I being a sleazy bleephole here? It's a big, significant media ethics conversation to be had there. To not touch it at all is a disservice to an audience that was eager to talk about.
Okay, Paul, that's fine. You've made your point. You wish that I would have said, guys, something happened. There's some photos. I don't want to talk about it.
I wish you would have said more than that, but I know that you lacked the gumption.
I didn't do it. Are we going to spend the rest of the show bitching about it?
The caller just asked about it. What, do you want me to ignore the caller?
Oh, yeah. But the caller brought it up.
I have to respond to the caller.
I didn't do it. I don't feel the least bit bad about not doing it. I don't care what you think. So we can move on and talk about things or not.
Okay, we're showing that Joe's not self-reflective at all, doesn't look back on his work with any consideration, and we're learning more about him. That's fine.
Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's going on, PK? How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Though, talk about Coach Mack. I've never met a more down-to-earth human being than Coach Mack when I worked at the competitor station. He paid for a meal for my blind date, and he definitely lived out the verse, let's let your light shine for others to see that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. He definitely lived out that verse. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but I could definitely feel his spirit for sure. So Coach Mack will definitely be missed, and I was going to kind of get your take on who you think should be the next color analyst.
Yeah, it's hard to say. And listen, when Frank was, I would say, eased out, he wouldn't, of that job, and they did a very, very thorough, they had a meeting where they threw like every name they could think of out on the table in their efforts that landed them Coach Mack. And I imagine they would be having a meeting like that now. I know, you know, names like Bullock will probably be at the forefront of that. But I don't know if a guy like Keith is going to want to do the full-timey elements of that when he's an entrepreneur and a businessman. And I think likes, not speaking for him, but I think likes the flexibility to be with his daughters and to come and go as he pleases. I think it's a really hard job to fill well. And I think it's really unfortunate that a year after they had to replace Mike Keith, they now have to replace Dave McGinnis at a time when the organizational identity is undergoing such a big switch with a second-year GM and a first-year head coach and a first-year staff and a lot of first-year players for the organization. You would love to still have a presence like Mack, who is kind of the chief salesman, which is an even more important job after four bad seasons, back-to-back 3-3s. And so they're going to be hurting in that department no matter who it is.
Well, and to that point, I mean, you've been around this organization since they've been here, and both his time as a coach and then his time as a radio analyst. I mean, anybody who's been around him loved Coach Mack. I just give you an opportunity to say a few words on his passing here.
Yeah, I mean, he had a contagious passion for the game. He was a friend to everybody. He was a real resource to me. I would go to him for, you know, when I had a question about a scheme or personnel usage or stuff that I didn't feel like I could get a good answer from in-house, or I needed somebody relatively detached from it. He never hesitated to talk me through something. And his Rolodex, Dan Pompey, over at The Athletic. I know we can't talk about him. He works at The Athletic. But he had 3,800 contacts, according to Dan Pompey, in his phone. And he shared plenty of people with me and with my old show that served my site very well in terms of adding people to stories, adding voices to stories, adding voices to our show that were an invaluable part of what we did, and never with a second thought from him because he was so gracious.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Lots more to get into with PK. We welcome your Titans questions at 615-737-1025. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com, talking all things Titans, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Ian just asked a good question during the break, worth bringing up. PK, do you think the Titans would want to trade back in this draft? We've talked a lot about what's going on at four. Well, I see all these mocks. I mean, Kuiper just came out one with the morning that just have Bailey going two to the New York Jets. So maybe he's gone. Maybe Reese is gone. And you're looking at Jeremiah Love, which everybody's mocking to go to the Titans right now at number four. Would the Titans want to trade back at number four if presented with that opportunity?
You know, maybe. I think 12 is about as far as you would go down, right? And I don't know who exactly you're loving there. It brings offensive linemen maybe more into the equation.
I think for sure.
I mean, are people going to riot if the Titans take a guard at 12?
Probably.
You know, two guards in, what, 4 years?
Yeah, I think a tackle would be more appropriate, right? Take a tackle. There's tackles. There's first-round tackles.
Yeah.
See the doctor for Proctor.
I have a hard time with a tackle who's not going to help you immediately. I understand the long-term health of the franchise and all of that. But if you then had 12 and 20 and 35, you certainly could knock out some things that
and that
need.
Of course would be with a trade with the Cowboys in that particular situation,
which would include and you'd be getting you know, I don't know, did 12 and 20 come out on the calculator with four? I think you'd be getting more than that as well. So, you know, the problem is that this draft is regarded as top heavy and that there are probably 8, 10, 12 true first rounders here. And already we're saying if you go to 12, you're getting a receiver there who's not, the best receiver in this draft probably isn't a clear-cut number one receiver. So you're not solving that problem. You know, if you got down there to Bain, well, we know that there are questions about Bain, who could be quite a good NFL player but doesn't come in, you know, with no questions as a clear-cut wide-edge rusher. You know, or you get into this, you get your left tackle of the future, but he's not giving you immediate help. Or you get a guard, and you're the team that's drafted two guards in the top 12 in 4 years, which is not primo real estate.
I don't think it's insane to think that one of these tackles could beat out Dan Moore, but, I guess we'll see. Or maybe we won't see.
No, he could beat him out for sure. But then again, your financial roster is a little screwy where you got a $22 million guy on the bench.
Yeah, heck of a swing tackle, though. Move him to either side.
That's right.
Swing him.
Swing that door. So this scenario would be what? Would be the Cowboys either trying to get Love or trying to get ahead of the Giants to get Sonny Styles?
Is that the idea? Everybody kind of is expecting the Cowboys to move up. We'll see. You know, when everybody starts to talk about this before the draft, that makes me wonder whether or not it's actually going to happen. And, you know, we've talked about the trade part of this. But, you know, it would be very Jerry Jones-like to try to jump up and make a huge move in the draft. So, I don't know. We're just
– yeah.
I don't know that there's – when you're not trading up for a quarterback or a pass rusher, and, look, if you're trading up with the Titans at four, the presumption is that Bailey and Reese are gone at that point.
Possibly, yeah.
I mean – does somebody love – look, people are going to love, no pun intended, love. But are you trading up? Are you giving up future assets to jump up and get a running back?
I mean, Jerry Jones, that sounds maybe like something he might do. But, yeah, most people would be like, yeah. You know, taking a running back that high is enough of a conversation. And giving up assets is kind of wild.
Kind
of like, really makes do not do that.
Really makes it questionable in terms of all that you're investing into him. He's going to be – top 10 highest paid running back coming in the door. That fifth year option will make him a giantly paid running back in his fifth year, and you're giving up draft assets to go get him. It's a lot. It increasing, you know, I mean, the talk now is that Bailey's going to be gone at four, which to me makes things tougher on the Titans. I don't think the Reuben Bain stuff that's become new to us is new to teams.
Yep.
So I think he's already baked into where he is on the draft board for people.
Yeah, Texter's asking about top of the second. That's just
No. The question is the question is for teams, you know, is this a guy who's got an issue with a Range Rover, or is this a guy who's got an issue?
Because he did have the thing after that.
Into his both driving issues though. So
right.
Is he a bad driver? Is he a guy with a bad gas pedal foot, or is it indicative of something that extends into his on-the-field character? Indications that I've gotten are that teams don't really have a problem with him as a human being. But, you know, he has an issue, obviously, that needs to be resolved. He's going to face a civil suit, obviously, which is going to be a distraction. But Robert Saleh talked at the owners' meetings about, you know, just crossing off character guys. I don't think it doesn't sound like he would fall into the bucket of the kind of character guy that you would cross off based on these things that have come to light in the media that came to light a long time ago for teams.
Yeah, teams knew what the Titans knew a long time ago, right?
Yeah. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie?
What's up?
Joe, Paul Kaharski. Hey, Joe, you got to quit letting Paul come at you like that. Paul, you got to understand, I'm Joe's number one guy. I'm his bodyguard. I'm always look out for Joe and speak up for him. But, Joe, you got to stop. Joe, you did a good job representing yourself and saying what you said earlier and how you handled that situation. So, you know, I'm going to agree with you.
I appreciate it.
That's right. So, Paul, I like you, Mr. Arrogant. I like you. I do. But when you come at Joe, you're going to have to come at me. And I am who I am about Joe. But again, Paul, I respect you and I like you. You're a good guy on the show. Like listening to you. Like listening at all, y'all. But y'all were talking about the Titans. I think they will trade back. I'm looking at the Jets and the Cardinals above them. They're going to trade back too, I believe. Cardinals have a lot of needs. Jets have a lot of picks. As far as going down to 12, you're probably right about that. But I just wanted to call in and talk to y'all about that. Hey, Robbie, I did win that golf tournament this
weekend.
There
you go. Attaboy.
I got my third Bobby Knight jacket. And thanks to my swing coach, Edgar Lane, guru.
Go.
And I didn't say Butch Harmon, but I did win that tournament. But, hey, man, I just called to talk to y'all for a minute. I'm going to get up the road.
Thank you,
Have
Mark.
A good day, Paul.
Appreciate you.
Thanks. They're not all trading back. I mean, there's not that much.
Especially when, like Robbie said, there's not even a quarterback, right? Like, the one quarterback's going to be gone, so that's not – yeah. One would be the max, probably, right?
Well, I saw Kuiper's mock draft this morning, and he had the Cardinals trading back into the first round after they picked originally at number three. To go get Simpson at number 30, which is always fascinating to me. Like the idea of, yeah, we like Simpson enough to trade back into the first round to go get him, but we don't like the quarterback enough to take him at number three where they are. Like, that's always an interesting discussion.
Yeah, but I mean, you're trying to gamble and hope that, like, you can get another primo player and you'll still be able to safely do it, right? And I get what you're saying. You get it's like the Titans year. With Levis.
You get the fifth year is the thing to get back into the first round to get him. So if you hit on him, you get some contract assurances there.
I appreciate Mark's endorsement. I think he was a little easy on PK, but that's okay. Pretty, he was kind of kind to you.
Pretty
but,
circular yeah. and pretty much you can do no wrong. It's kind of like Trump support. Like if you're in, you're all the way.
Hey, let's do some politics the rest of the show.
Get that in
there we
too.
Go.
It's good stuff too. Well, I guess if you're taking Simpson, first off, you're talking about a totally new coaching staff. So if you trade back up in the first round to go get Ty Simpson, if you're Arizona, I mean, don't you kind of tie yourself to Ty Simpson? No pun intended. I'm doing a lot of love and tying to Ty. But like, aren't you kind of tying yourself to a quarterback at that point that you didn't trade back up in the first round to go get? Like, I don't know if I'm. I mean, frankly, I don't know that I would love tying myself to any of these quarterbacks, Mendoza included. But if you're a new coach, I understand they've got, what, Brissett and Minshew? Is that their quarterback room in Arizona? Right?
That's the duo?
It's terrific. Terrific.
You can combine them into one,
one player.
One player.
You still wouldn't be very
you could win seven.
Maybe.
Who's going to start, Brissett or Minshew?
So Minshew will win the job. He'll have a couple amazing games, and he'll throw four picks, and then Brissett will start the
Gardner Minshew's only 29 years old, by the way.
That's wild.
You could have told me he was 37, and I'd be like, yep, sure. Sounds right.
Yeah, got that, like, tiny Grizzly Adams thing going on.
615-737-1025.
Mini Grizzly.
Our phone number. More questions to get to with PK. We welcome your questions on our text line. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com is with us. Our off-season coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of football off-season coverage here on ESPN, 1025 The Game. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in East Nashville Ed to the program. East Nashville Ed, good morning.
East Nashville
Ed. Good morning, guys. Paul, I got a question
great
for
name.
You. Yes, Paul, let me. I always cringe when I hear when running backs are on the board. The question becomes, oh, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can catch the ball. He can catch the ball. How many times in a game or in a season does a running back catching the ball really help you? I want a running back who can run between the tackles.
Hi, welcome to 1983. I'm East Nashville Ed. Have you heard about Marshall Faulk?
I love is Alvin Kamara. And as good as Alvin Kamara is, you know, I think the thing that's hurt the Saints over the years is that they don't have a running back who can run between the tackles. I mean, that looks good in the first and second quarter, but at the end of the game when you've got to sustain the drive, if you don't have a good, powerful running back that can – I mean, I don't.
Mike Ditka was right, man. Ricky Williams was worth the entire draft.
I think he's raising a fair point in that.
Thank you, Ed. You know, so I am the one who has to be mean to Ed. You're the one who's going to be nice to him.
Unless it's Christian McCaffrey, and a lot of guys come out and you hear that they're going to be Christian McCaffrey, and then they turn out not to be that impactful. I do want a guy that can run between the tackles in the fourth quarter. In 4 minutes because you're going to be in a close game. I think Jeremiah Love can do that.
He can do that
100%.
And will do that.
Saquon Barkley can do both. There's plenty of people who can do both.
How effective are you as a pass catching running back that adds to it? A good pass catching running back can be a great feature, but he's not going to replace the number one receiver that you're lacking.
No.
People do tend to overweigh that. Well, this guy's such a good weapon that he's going to help offset what you're losing by not getting the receiver.
Yeah, what it would offset would be like maybe not investing in like a good slot receiver, right? That'd be more of the replacement.
Which the Titans
or tight end.
Just invested in Wandale Robinson.
Right.
So
it's not bad to have both.
They're doubling up on that. But, yes, he's a running back, first and foremost. You want him to take the carries. Getting the additional touches can create some matchup problems and diversify your offense. But it doesn't offset the need for somebody ideally better than Carnell Tate, who's not available to them here and remains a need.
Well, by the way, you can do both. Like Jahmyr Gibbs last year is a good example. He ran for 1,200 yards. He averaged 5 yards a carry, and he caught 77 balls last year for 616 and five touchdowns.
What was his
That's pretty valuable.
What was his average per catch?
His average per catch was 8.
Right.
Yeah, I mean.
Which is nice.
Yeah, like, look, I have not heard a Saints fan. I guess we'll have to ask Vingan this. Vingan, if you're still in the chat, weigh in. I've never heard people say, you know what the problem with the Saints last year is? Not having that running back between the tackles who could. Yeah, I don't think that's. It might be like because, you know, they had a great quarterback and now they don't. That might be my thing. They had cap issues.
That
caught up to them.
At long last.
That also was a thing. But, I mean, I'm all for running between the tackles. But
sure.
And, like, Derrick Henry's the other way, right? He's the example of the great runner with the football who. Yeah, unless we're counting screens, really right. is no factor and is off the field on third and medium or third and long.
Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Ed from Jersey does not have the same ring as East Nashville Ed. I got to work on that.
That's true.
Jersey
anyway,
Ed.
It's better.
So, I have read your article, Paul, on paulkoharski.com. Well, Blake Bedingfield's article on the offensive line, I really enjoyed it, but I was left with a question, and I'm hoping you can walk me through here. He mentions a really good point about, you know, you don't draft offensive linemen to fit the coaching staff scheme because they come and go, and now you're left with the player who might be orphaned when that coaching staff is gone. So you draft based on talent and skills. So if Berganti goes to A-ball and says, you like, and he says, yeah, I love Besantis because he has these skill sets and blah, blah, blah. How do you know, and be collaborative with the coaching staff, how do you know it's, you know, a translatable skill set that can work in any system, or is he just saying that because he likes it for his system? I just find that to be really a challenge here and not just easier said than done.
Yeah,
it's
definitely,
came away from reading that
article. Definitely easier said than done.
I get.
And I can't help but thank Carmen Brasillo and Daboll are going to have influence over what kind of offensive lineman they take. But I also think offensive linemen at the top of this draft, like Besantis, are going to have translatable skill sets that any offensive line coach should be able to work with. And I think, you know, if you're feeling like you might be at the end of a coach's term, then you should give them less say. If you're at the beginning of this coach's term, you have to be optimistic and expect that this coach is going to be in place for 3-4 years at least. And I would say, you're not coaching specifically, saying, oh, this guy absolutely fits this offensive line coach, and that's why we'd take him. But I think he'd be a little bit more loose with it.
Well, and I think you get more into that the deeper into the draft you go, right? Like, there are better scheme fits, you know, fourth and fifth round. Like, you really start to dive into that stuff.
That's what they always say.
You better not be drafting J.C. Latham at seventh overall because he's, like, a certain scheme fit. Like, no. You need to have a certain level of talent if you're going that high.
And we're about to see how that goes into practice because J.C. Latham was a Bill Callahan selection. Now, he better be able to translate to Carmen Brasillo.
Yes.
Right. But, and also, like, to me, you always, you have to value the input, right? And you may end up being like, look, I just think, you know, I have my own reasons that I think this is a better way to go than that. But you have to value the input of these people, right? If you don't, why are you employing them?
But we are seeing that. There are too many guys that were connected to the previous regime in a way. You know, look at Brownlee. Look at Sweat. Sweat's more of a scheme thing. But there are not enough holdovers from one regime to the next in a my guy, your guy kind of way that's not healthy. It seems I haven't done any big comparison to it, but it doesn't seem like there are enough holdovers.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Of young guys.
No, I agree with that.
Well, yeah, they moved a couple that I wouldn't have necessarily moved last year, but they did.
They did. On that side. And, you know,
And some of that was before the new guy was even in place, right? That's a GM thing.
Right, yeah, right,
for sure.
Right.
So, I mean, and the Sweat thing, I mean, you could probably trace that more directly to Saleh, right? Like, it's you identify the defense you want to run, And we talked about it. He didn't fit. So that part of it makes sense, but, you know.
And they came out
and
well
the other
there.
Stuff, too. Other stuff. There's other stuff about him that's like,
GM didn't like him, and the coach couldn't fit him. Now, and you come out okay there, except that Sweat had 2 years left and Jermaine has 1 year left, and so you're trading off contract timing.
Yep, for sure. I also think when you're looking at the offensive line part of this, we've talked about how concerning it is if, like, potentially you're starting a rookie at center with your second-year quarterback heading on all this. You know, if on the Latham front, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I like taking away built-in excuses for Cam Ward at quarterback, like doing as much as you can to do that. I like the idea of taking away built-in excuses for J.C. Latham heading into his third year, too. And now all of a sudden I'm looking to his left and I'm like, well, who's playing right guard? Who's playing center? And is it going to be so bad where either it actually does affect him to a level that's a huge problem, or you look at Latham struggling halfway through the year and you're like, well, what do you expect him to do? Look at who's playing center and guard next to him.
But I would, just like the Cam Ward excuse, I think that he's got to be out of excuses. I mean, of course. I mean, does it adversely affect you? I have no doubt that it does. But he has to be able to command his area. Like, it's like,
I agree.
At this point, he needs to step up and show that he is a difference-making player on his own.
It's a forced graduation, though. Like,
yeah.
Ideally, you would have an experienced vet next to him that he could lean on. And now it appears, unless this draft doesn't pan out the way they want and they go back to Zeitler, he's not going to have he's not going to have that. And so
Zeitler just waiting on them, hoping they – like, is he that unwanted a commodity in this league?
Well, I think he's waiting on the league. You know, whatever opportunities he has are going to come out of that. So whatever team has an open guard
spot. It's not a good sign,
spot.
Though, right? Like, and I think it kind of matches up with last year. He wasn't very good. And
I thought he got better as the year went.
He was better
though.
Than we think, but I think part of the thing is, you know, he's a 15-year guy. He's going to need a day off during the week. You're expecting a downturn. You know, he's not going to get better.
Yeah, he's 36.
He's only going to get worse. And so ideally, you're going a different direction. But he's probably going to find work, right? And so, on the one hand, you'd like him back. Because he benefits Latham and because you know what you're getting. On the other hand, you should find better. If it was just right guard, I'd have no problem with that. If they were going into the draft saying, all right, we're going to draft a starting right guard. Problem is it's two spots, not one.
615-737-1025. One more segment with PK coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com. Taking your questions at 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Joe, what do you mean when you say that you're out of excuses for Cam Ward? Because when I hear that, I think last year he had plenty of excuses, and the fact that he had like the hardest rookie schedule anybody could ever have, zero weapons and a dumb coach. I understand that you swap the coach, but you still have a new coaching staff. You gave him a slot receiver. You really didn't improve the offense that much. Like, I love that everybody acts like the offense is going to be, you know, revolutionized, but we added a slot receiver. You know, and we still have questions on the offensive line. So I don't understand why you're acting like if Cam sucks, it's on Cam now. There's still plenty of reasons why it's not on Cam. Like, I like Cam a lot. I want to know where you get that statement from.
What did I say?
Well, first off, I think it was me. I said I'm in the business of trying to eliminate excuses for Cam Ward.
Yeah, the point is you want to get to the – Robbie, sorry about that. We've talked about a lot, which is – basically, you want to get to the point where we can evaluate Cam and not always have excuses for him. Yeah, I mean, I think we all
would acknowledge they're not there yet.
Bad situation, for sure, last year. But, yeah, you want to get to that point. And then I took it to Latham. I think we're at the point with Latham where it's like, you got to show more. On your own, I'm trying to think of the guy they drafted out of Bama. Oh, my gosh.
Chance Warmack?
Yes. I don't care if Chance Warmack is next to you. Okay? Like, you got to show more. You got to you got to take care of your own business. You got to stop talking about, oh, yeah, I was 50 pounds overweight last year and whatever. Like, you got to be better.
Third-year first-round picks, I agree. A third-year first-round pick should be in the I'm established area.
Yep.
Not the help me area.
Like Skoronski last year. Skoronski
into his third year.
Right.
And he was a little slower than we wanted.
Yeah.
But he had a left tackle next to him. He had an unstable center situation next to him. We all could see that Peter Skoronski can play. Well, that's what JT
and was
Lincoln
elevating those guys next to him, not needing to be elevated by guys around him.
There you go.
By the way, Chance Wormack, Super Bowl champion. Put some respect on his name.
There you go. It's ring culture. That's all that matters.
Put some respect.
Where was he? Eagles?
Yeah, 2018.
How about that?
Nick Foles and Chance Wormack getting it done out there. Brady,
Was he on the field for the Philly special?
I don't know. I'm sure he was.
He wasn't playing for that team.
I don't know.
He was dressed, I assume. Was he dressed for the Philly special?
There's a photo of him holding a newspaper that says Super on it. He's in uniform.
He's in uniform. Look, these Titans
can't miss Alabama offensive line prospects.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Can't miss. And, I mean, that was picked by Mike Munchak. So, I mean.
A guy who knows offensive line play, who knows offensive line, who's a great offensive line coach.
I thought that guy was
going to
be an answer.
Yeah.
Anybody can be wrong. You can be the greatest expert. Anybody can be wrong on these players.
I mean, look at Joe Rexford.
Which is part of what makes it.
Tendon hooker.
Yeah. That's fine. So we're waiting for your first one, though. We're waiting for you to be wrong on one. Oh, that's right. Paulie No Takes never tells us what he thinks about a player. Paulie No Takes doesn't have any opinions.
Paulie No Takes.
He wanted me to say, oh, guys, I'm not going to talk about this story. Thank you.
The whole time, the first segment he was here today, I was like, yeah, No Takes. He's in here today.
Yeah, Paulie No Takes.
Paulie No Takes. That's what he's famous for.
I just don't pretend to be an expert in college football
or anything.
I have some expertise.
Oh, there we go. Tell us your areas of specific expertise.
He's a professor, for God's sake.
That is true.
Media ethics. I'm pretty strong in media ethics.
Yeah.
Where you failed us today as well.
You would receive a grade of an F from Paul Kuharski.
D minus. But if you meet with me after class, we could talk about some potential for extra credit.
I really hope none of your students meet with you after class.
Oh, we talk after class, yeah.
Anybody bring you an apple?
Lovely time. No apple. I brought them chocolate last week.
Is that ethical? Kind of
caring
Is that
soul?
Ethical?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Nice for
They're hungry.
Class.
Yeah. They're hungry.
We got exams
I need
up?
To keep them. I need to keep them pepped up. Exams in early May. It's not an exam. It's a project.
Okay. Oh, you're not doing a final? You don't have a Scantron final? You've got
I have a project. Group project.
We probably should talk more about Paul's professorial life.
I think we should.
I think there's a lot there that we could probably get at, especially this summer after the draft.
I'd rather talk about
that. Talk about for months.
I mean, yeah, I'm glad the draft's here next Thursday.
You come for draft talk and you get media ethics.
Have some of that
class. I'll give a whole class. We'll put up PowerPoints on the YouTube.
Are we gonna get a Joe? Joe Rex wrote or a Paul Kuharski mock draft between now and next Thursday?
Absolutely not.
You know,
Joe, you're gonna.
I haven't been asked, so I think they might finally be like, hey, "Go away." I've taken part in the beat writer mock draft still, but that's just taking.
We get another one of those coming up.
No, they're gonna want a 7-round Titans mock from their Titans beat writer.
They have in the past, so maybe they've kind of like moved away from me.
Understanding your detachment from the team. Will you be at the Titans press conference tomorrow morning?
No.
Athletic needs to be represented at that, I would think.
Would you?
I think you should be there.
There you go.
Do you teach anything other than media ethics?
This semester I'm teaching two different classes of media ethics.
But it's all ethics.
15 minutes between.
Wow, he goes two in a row.
Back to back.
We have people on the text line saying they'd love to be in your class.
Yeah, it's not inexpensive to go to Belmont, but check it out.
Paul, thank you for being with us today here on the program. A week from today, we will be one day away from the draft.
Heavy
draft discussion
next week. A week from today, we will be have such a better feel of exactly what they're going to do.
Sure. It'll be a lot of the same exact stuff we've been saying.
Don't block the box and be sure to lock your locks. The kids got a lesson on that.
That's right. That's right. That does it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Andrew Burnett with us on the show tomorrow at 7:30. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock tomorrow. We'll have it all for you starting at 6 o'clock. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
It's for the kids. It's for the kids. It's for the kids.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.